talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA. Then, 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the Wildcard Line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
It's exactly what it is. I'm Art Bell. Dr. Lorraine Day is here, and we're going to lay heavily into the phones this hour. She's got information coming up for you, so run and get a piece of paper and pencil, and we'll get you that information in a moment. By the way, I would like to remind you to order a copy of this program. You can call 24 hours a day, as with any guest we have on, 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. We've got links on the website to Dr. Day's website. And the photographs she mentioned, we've got on the website as well. They are simply astounding. The proof is in the pudding, or in this case, the photograph, so I suggest you take a look. And as you listen to her, I know, and I suspect you know too, she is right. Well, all right, back now to Dr. Lorraine Day. Dr. Day, you have some tapes that you have put together, I guess. Is that correct?
Yes. Since I was on the last time, I have the two cancer tapes, Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore and You Can't Improve on God, which is the exact plan I use to get well. Then I have another one called Diseases Don't Just Happen, where I go into virtually all different kinds of diseases and show from the medical literature why these diseases happen and how you can get well without drugs. And then as far as particularly anger, I have a video called Turn on the Light, Overcoming Anxiety and Depression, and that also includes anger and other kinds of psychological problems without drugs. And those are available by calling 1-800-574-2437. That's 1-800-574-2437. And let me just give out an address.
All right, is that a 24-hour number?
Yes, it's a 24-hour number, but the last time I was on your show, the whole company that provided our phone answering service imploded, and so let me give out an address.
All right.
It's Rockford Press, that's Rockford, Press, P.O. Box 8, and the city is Thousand Palms, Thousand is spelled out, Palms, California, 92276. We have a totally different answering service now, so it shouldn't implode, but if you have trouble getting through, at least you have an address.
All right, give me the address again, Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8,
where? Thousand Palms.
Thousand Palms.
That's the city. It's P.O. Box 8, and the city is Thousand Palms, California, 92276.
Palms, California. Okay. Just one other quick question, and I wonder if you've done any research in this area, Doctor. We've been getting a lot of information lately from people who claim that our own government is experimenting on us. Now, this is kind of going far afield from where we've been, and I won't take you there very long, but there is some admitted evidence that our government has done this, that areas have been sprayed, that toxins, that experiments have been run to see how quickly a biowarfare agent might be able to be spread, that sort of thing, that civilian populations have been experimented on. Do you know anything about any of that?
Yes, I do, and it's true. I know quite a bit about it firsthand. When I was an intern, we had a lot of patients dying in the hospital from an organism that was very, very rare. And as an intern, I just thought that this was happening maybe everywhere. But it turns out it was only happening in San Francisco. And it wasn't until 10 to 15 years later, it actually came out in a newspaper article. The government admitted that they had dumped this organism in the San Francisco Bay just to see what would happen and to see how many people would get it. Now, we also have evidence in the medical literature of the Tuskegee syphilis study.
Oh, of course.
That's very clear. And there are many books written documenting over and over again all of the experimenting that our government has done on citizens. We also have other articles in the medical literature about radiation studies done on people without their consent and without their knowledge. This is going on, has in the past, and continues to go on now.
Just thought I'd ask. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Where are you, please?
The phone's in New York City.
New York City, all right.
I hope you don't mind my saying this, but that doctor's name is Teplitsky, I'm pretty sure. The one that you did the ad for. But the question that that I wanted to ask Dr. Day is, I had read some books, and there's been a lot of information on the glycemic index, and a lot of doctors have said that that juices are very high on the glycemic index compared to the whole fruit. And that especially carrots are even higher than fruit. I was wondering if you might comment on that.
In other words, boiled down to English, you're saying it's better to eat them than it is to juice them.
Well, right, that they raise the blood sugar, carrots supposedly raise the blood sugar more even than fruit.
Okay. Doctor?
Well, certainly when you have, first of all, when you have fiber associated with sugar, it is metabolized more slowly in the body, and so then that raises the insulin more slowly. However, when you have natural sugar, it's totally different from refined sugar. And so if a person is a diabetic and they have cancer, I tell them to start off with one carrot juice a day, dilute it 50-50, and then start changing their diet and eating all the right things and changing the way they're living, and as they get better, they will be able to increase quite rapidly, actually, their carrot juice over the next few weeks, always checking their blood sugar and urine sugar. But if a person is not a diabetic, they not only can they handle it well, see, the body runs on sugar. When I say sugar, I'm not talking about refined sugar. It runs on carbohydrate. The brain, the fuel for the brain is carbohydrate. It is glucose. That's what the brain runs on. And the rest of the body thrives on a high complex carbohydrate diet. That means whole fruits and vegetables. When you juice it, what you're trying to do is get lots of nutrition in rapidly so the body does not have to digest it. You see, nobody could eat 35 pounds of carrots a week.
And live.
But that's right. Especially you, huh?
That's right.
But you need to get that nutrition in because cancer and virtually all disease is a problem of malnutrition. We're eating a lot of calories, but the wrong kind. And so you have to get nutrition into your body to make it well. And this is the way to do it. Now, I have heard all sorts of doctors say that. But in practice, they're wrong. I have a letter in front of me. I get lots of mail. I have a letter in front of me from a woman who's about 80 years old, and she wrote, and she said she was a diabetic, and she had all sorts of other problems, and the doctor said, you're not supposed to drink carrot juice. It's too high in sugar, and she said she told him to go fly a kite, and she went home, and she did it. Within 3 weeks, she had lowered her insulin level by eating right and going on the carrot juice. Again, gradually, she had lowered her insulin dose by 50% and continued to stay on the plan and is almost all the way off her insulin. So this is the kind of thing that happens. And so they're not separating natural sugar from refined sugar. Refined sugar, like sugar that's in a sugar bowl, which they put in ketchup and even they're putting it in toothpaste and things like that, and almost all processed food, that hits your body like a jolt of cocaine.
Mm.
Totally different from natural sugar.
All right, very good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. Where are you, sir?
I'd rather not say, Art. I'm sorry.
Huh.
It's just
okay.
That I haven't talked to my family about this. I've, for the doctor, I've recently discovered a lump. And I was just wondering. I've also, I'm not sure if I found two lumps or if it's a lymph node that's swollen. I found a lump on my right testicle, and near the base of my genitals, there's a bulging-type lump. Would that be a lymph node?
It would be impossible for me to tell from here.
We don't do medicine over the radio, sir.
Okay, and I have a question. You mentioned flaxseed oil. Were there any other herbal medicines that you used?
Flaxseed oil is not an herbal medicine. Flaxseed is a food.
Oh, okay.
And so, again, I'm not against herbs, but the point is the way you get well is by replacing your deficiencies, and you have a deficiency of food and water and a deficiency of peace in your life, and that's what you've got to get in your life to get well. Herbs are very short-term things to help you along when you have colds and flus and things like that, but what you really do have to do is rebuild your immune system with food and water.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, and caller?
Yeah?
I would say, doctor, he should go to a doctor and at least find out what he's facing, shouldn't he?
Well, he can do that, but I'll tell you this. Lumps, whatever kind of lumps you have, whether it's malignant or whether it's a lymph node or whatever, it's abnormal, and you want to reverse that lump. And the way to do it is to reverse the factors that allowed it to develop in the first place. I certainly would not tell you not to go to a doctor, but if you follow the plan that I did, lumps, whether benign or malignant, can go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, caller?
Thank you very much.
Right, thank you for the call, and take care. And good luck to you. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
All right.
Yes.
I'm Tom. I'm in Southern Oregon.
Hi, Tom.
Right near to your Central Point base.
Yes.
I'm 1440. I have one quick question for you, and then I'd like to relate something to Dr. Lorraine.
All right.
You have reported numerously on some groups looking for some extraterrestrial life, right?
No, this is inappropriate for what we're doing right now, sir. Why don't you ask Dr. Day the question?
Okay. Dr. Day?
Yes.
I just wanted to give you a quick little thing that my mother-in-law, at age 75, had a tumor of the liver. We're in one of the largest medical centers on the West Coast. We had the best surgeon here. Opened her up, sewed her up, said she's got 3 to 10 days. We can't do anything. Take her home. She was 64 pounds and on morphine, right?
Oh, boy.
After 3 days of coffee enemas, she was off the morphine with no pain. By doing the 8 juices a day, she was up and on her way on a tour through Canada in 6 months.
Wow.
Okay?
That's right.
And I've got all the medical records. True story.
I believe it.
And it does work. I don't know if you...
I believe it.
I'm a retired lieutenant colonel from Medical Service Corps, U.S. Army. And we could not have done this with friends in the medical profession, one great internist here, who came over, and we needed some special things prescribed. We needed some Lugol juice and so on and so on. But he said he would help us and prescribe anything we wanted so long as we didn't tell anybody who he was.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I believe his story.
Listen, I know hundreds of people who've gotten well that way. You see, you never hear about them in the newspapers, and people say, well, why aren't these published in the medical journals? On one of my videos, I hold up a medical journal, and I show you how much is medical content and how much is high-priced pharmaceutical ads. More is composed of the ads than of the medical content. And so if they lost all those pharmaceutical ads, which they would if they published this kind of information, they would not be in business. It's just that simple.
Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Dr. Day. Hi.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Fine.
Good. Dr. Day, gosh, sitting here listening to you the last half hour or so, the caller before this caller, how can you not just, like, come straight out and tell him, go see a physician when he was talking about his perineum area there.
Well, I didn't tell him not to. That's up to him.
Well,
I don't tell him what to do.
How come you didn't say, well, you know what, you really need to go see a physician? He needs to go see a physician.
Maybe she doesn't absolutely believe that, caller.
Yeah,
in other words, she said a lump, whether it's benign or cancerous,
can be reversed.
Can be reversed in the same manner. That's all she said. She didn't say, don't see a doctor. She said, I heard clearly what she said.
Yeah, you are correct, Art. You are correct. But shouldn't she have said after that, but you should go feel...
She should say what she feels.
But she, as a physician, you know, I don't agree with almost everything she says. I really don't agree with anything she says. So, I mean, at least she could have said was okay. You know, it could be reversed or anything, a lump, da-da-da. But, I cannot tell you without, you know, you need to go have further studies done, and it can be reversed, and good luck to you, and so forth.
I can tell you this. I am a physician.
Mm-hmm.
I did not learn one thing in medical school about true healing of the body. No doctor does. Every doctor only learns drugs. We learn to diagnose a case by evaluating the symptoms. Then we pick a drug to treat those symptoms. We never address the underlying cause of the problem. Let me give you an illustration. High blood pressure is not caused by a deficiency of high blood pressure medication. High blood pressure is caused mainly by too much fat in the arteries, narrowing the arteries, caused by what we eat,
right,
plus dehydration, which causes the body to produce a chemical which constricts the blood vessels. And so the heart has to push blood harder through narrower vessels. And this is what causes high blood pressure. So,
well, that's not the only thing, doctor.
Pardon?
Because I am also a learned colleague, as you are. And there's other factors. You have to take all the factors into consideration.
Like what? Like what?
Like what? Like a plaque along the...
That's what I said.
Pardon me?
That's what I said.
You said plaque? I didn't hear plaque.
I said there is fat in the vessels, which is, of course, what plaque
is.
Okay,
and perhaps, what else? What else could there be? Maybe like predisposition, your history, your family's history, that kind of thing? Would that be part of it, doctor?
Well, that's a very small part of it. There's very little blood high blood pressure that is genetic.
Heart disease, the biggest thing in heart disease is your history,
your family. I'm sorry, it is not.
Oh, Dr. Day, I am so sorry, but history, number one, when a patient or a client, whatever you want to call that person, when they comes in, the first thing you do is get a history from them.
You can change, and every doctor has seen patients when they change their lifestyle, they do not have to have happen to their parents.
That's right. I'm not arguing with that, but when they come in to the ER, the biggest thing you're going to ask them is the history. If they're going to be predisposed if they have a family history,
I think if I'm listening to the doctor correctly, what she's saying is, yeah, sure, predisposition may be true, but if you conduct your life in the manner that she's been describing, and you change your habits in the manner she's been describing, eating, exercise, sun, on and on and on, that you can... you can change what otherwise might occur because of predisposition or anything else.
That's correct. You see, these things are not necessarily genetic. What happens is we learn these patterns from our parents. Our parents teach us how to eat. They teach us how to handle anger or not handle it. They teach us how to handle stress or not handle it.
Mm-hmm.
They teach us whether we exercise or not. By what they do, we observe. So these things are handed down through families, but not in the genes.
Well, I am so sorry, but you do have a lot of good things to say about eating and sleep and all that. But gosh, for the most part, you're not doing your profession any good by being on the show right now.
All right, we'll address that one when we get back. Hold on, caller. Even I, who knows that I'm doing everything that I shouldn't be doing, even I know the good doctor is absolutely correct.
From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Well, that was adrenaline-producing. We lost our uplink going into that break. That was something. Whew. You've got to be a type A, I'm telling you. I got in there and recycled the satellite transmitter, and we're back up right now. We'll see what happens. That's even better than a cup of coffee. Matter of fact, this time of the morning. So Dr. Day is my guest, and she will be, as I hope we will be, right back. This is Art Bell. Well, all right. Assuming that we're still whole in the sense of getting the signal from here to there, and I think we are, here once again is Dr. Lorraine Day. Well, at least occurred during a break, or near a break. Dr. Day, here we go again.
All right.
I do want to give out your information. To get her tapes, the ones you heard her talk about, there is a 24-hour number available. Hopefully, it's not swamped beyond all redemption. The number is 1-800-574-2437. That's 1-800-574-2437. And or you can write to Rockford Press, Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8, Thousand Palms, California, zip code 92276. That's Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8, Thousand Palms, California, zip code 92276. And here we go again. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning. I can barely hear you, so you're going to have to yell at us a little.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Dr. Day. I'm calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to know if the doctor has any special advice for somebody with herpetic conjunctivitis, because pharmaceutical medication hasn't helped it at all.
I can't hear what you say. Hepatic what?
Conjunctivitis.
Can you spell it? Because I can't hear it.
can you spell that?
What, conjunctivitis?
Cholangitis?
Conjunctivitis.
Conjunctivitis, she's saying.
Can you spell the word? Because I've not heard of any such word. There's hepatic cholangitis, C-H-O-L-A-N-G-I-T-I-S. What are your symptoms?
It's an ulceration of the eye.
Oh, conjunctivitis. Now you say hepatic?
Yes.
Hepatic conjunctivitis?
Yes.
Why do they associate your swollen and running eyes with your liver?
No, this is an ulcer of the eye. They say it's part of the cold sore family.
Okay, because hepatic, are you saying herpetic?
Yes, herpetic.
Oh, herpetic. Oh, because hepatic means liver.
It's herpetic. H-E-R-P-E.
You have herpes of the eye.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Again, herpes is a virus which is the result of an immune system that is not functioning properly. What you need to do is start rebuilding your immune system, and you do that by a change in your diet and lifestyle, because there is no antibiotics do not work on viruses. Antiviral medication all have side effects, and they do not destroy the herpes virus. So all you're doing is trying to knock it down a little bit. What you have to do is rebuild your body so your body can fight the infection.
All right. So all the advice that you've heard earlier tonight,
that's right,
applies.
Applicable to this and also.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because the pharmaceutics haven't helped it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, in that case, you don't have much to lose by changing your life in the manner she described.
Certainly not, and I thank you very much. Have
all
a
right.
Good evening.
You bet. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
Hello, Doctor. I don't know if you've had, this may be a silly question, but instead of juicing, if I drank a lot of orange juices and apple juices. Would that have the same effect? And then I have another question about olive oil and garlic.
All right.
Okay, first of all, orange juice, you don't want to drink more than one glass of orange juice a day because that does not have the same antioxidant effect that the carrot juice has.
Okay.
Apple juice, yes, apple is very good, and I mix the apple in with the carrot and the apple in with the green leafy vegetable juice, which you'll see on the plan, and that is very beneficial. But you need, carrots are one of the best antioxidants, and you need all of the vitamins that are in the green leafy vegetable juice. Now, when you talk about olive oil and vinegar.
No, I mean olive oil and garlic. I mean, are the claims
olive oil and garlic,
yeah.
For what? You mean like a salad dressing?
Well, no, but I've heard that, you know, putting that in your diet, you know, I've heard these wonderful, almost like this is like a miracle thing with olive oil and garlic. I was just wanting to get your opinion.
Well, the thing is, see, there are no quick fixes.
I understand.
There are no quick fixes, and garlic has a lot of antibiotic effects, but
right.
You have to be careful because garlic is very pungent, it's very strong, and it can have a very irritating effect.
Mm-hmm.
The best oil, if you have a serious disease,
right.
You don't want to take a lot of fat, even vegetable fat, into your body because cancer thrives on fat. Now, if you do not have cancer,
right.
Certainly... olive oil is the very best oil to cook with.
Okay.
The very best.
Okay.
All right. Another thing about oils, for those of you listening, if you just think about a steak that's out on your kitchen counter, if you look at the fat on that steak, it is solid at room temperature. It's also solid at body temperature,
mm-hmm.
In the cow's body and in your body when you eat it. When you cook your steak, some of that fat will melt, but as soon as it cools down a little bit, it will solidify in the pan. So when you eat flesh food, the fat that's marbled in the meat is solid at body temperature in your body. When you eat vegetable fats, they are liquid, like olive oil and flaxseed oil. They are liquid at room temperature and liquid at body temperature, so they don't clog up your arteries like animal fats do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have been taking garlic, odorless garlic pills, and cayenne pills for a long time, and it is some of the healthiest things that have ever happened to me. So I want to know, why are people talking against these kind of medications?
Who's talking against them?
Well, it's so good for the human body to take odorless garlic.
Now, repeat, sir. Who talked against them?
Well, I've heard things about these medications as to their opposite effect on the human body.
You mean other than tonight?
And tonight. And I'm wondering, why do people...
I haven't heard that.
Why do people talk against the kind of things that are the best for the human body?
Again, sir, I haven't heard that, not on this program anyway.
Well, what are the benefits then that Dr. Day is talking about that cayenne, for instance, will help the human body?
Well, first of all, we haven't even discussed cayenne tonight.
Yeah. Where are you coming from here?
It's a marvelous product to use, and it has certainly helped my heart and all the functions of my body. It helps the body perform at its maximum. And I wonder why these things aren't mentioned.
Well, first of all, there is no heart problem or cardiovascular problem that is due to a deficiency of cayenne. There are, and I'm not against cayenne. What I'm telling you is, in order to really get well, what we've got to do is we've got to reverse the things that happened in our body. When our arteries are clogged up, which is what causes heart disease, heart attacks, and strokes, we've got to unclog them. And the best way to unclog them is to change the things in our diet and our lifestyle that are clogging them up. And so it is not, cayenne can certainly have some good effects on these things, but it doesn't cure the problem because if you don't change your diet and lifestyle to get rid of the fat in your body, you're still going to have arteriosclerosis. Garlic, as I just talked about, has a lot of antibiotic effects. It has a lot of immune-boosting effects, but you have to be somewhat careful.
You have to take it raw. If you cook with it, it loses the nutritional effect for your body.
But you have to be somewhat careful of it because it has an irritating effect on the body. It does have a lot of positive effects, but again, there are no diseases caused by a deficiency of garlic. There are diseases caused by a deficiency of nutrition, vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, and too much fat and protein in the diet. So that's where we've got to really put the emphasis rather than just picking
sure.
a herb out here or a something out there and thinking that we're living healthy.
Let me draw this one out on you. This does seem to be true that some people who live lives that you would consider far less than ideal do not come up with arterial sclerosis, or they don't have a heart attack or stroke or get cancer. They seem to live and then live to a ripe old age and then die of whatever. It doesn't happen to them. Where, on the other hand, some other people, doctor, are particularly prone to clogged arteries and their counts, I forget what it is you look at, always are high, while other people seem to be able to get away with food murder and their count remains low and normal and they just go sailing through life.
Okay, well, first of all, let's just look at the trends. In 1900, the percentage of all deaths from percentage of the total deaths of people who died in the United States, heart disease was only 8%.
Oh, I'm not even going to begin to make this argument. I wouldn't even try because I know you're correct. All I'm saying is, why are there these seeming exceptions to the rule?
Okay, first of all, the people who now live to a ripe old age, and you'll find people who, you know, a few, now most of these people die. The ones that you see living to a ripe old age are the exception and not the rule, and you might say, why are they the exception?
I'm asking that.
Right. First of all, when they were being raised, remember, in the early 1900s, if somebody is, say, 100 years old now, they were eating out of their gardens. They ate much less flesh food then. They didn't eat sugar. They didn't drink sodas. They weren't under the stresses that we are under now as far as the civilization is concerned. And a lot of those people have maintained some of those healthy lifestyles. And even if they've smoked on top of that, if they're still, say, eating out of their gardens or they're eating very healthily, they can survive. If you have a person who is, 50 years old and they have been eating all wrong and they have been had a good attitude, not getting angry, frequently they can overcome wrong eating habits by their attitude. I know a woman who is 75 years old. She is grossly overweight, but she has the world's greatest attitude. Most people who are grossly overweight don't live to be 75, but she does not get angry. She has peace in her heart. And she is doing very, very well. I also know of another person, actually a distant relative of mine, who is a very angry lady, but she eats right and she exercises every day. She should have been dead a long time ago, but she's still going.
So there's really no single answer, is there?
It is a multifactorial situation. In other words, you've got to really look at the whole plan, and sometimes you can overcome one with another. But if you have lots of stresses, you don't handle the anger in the way you should, and you eat wrong, you're a disaster waiting to happen.
Gotcha. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Johnny down in Phoenix, listening to you on KFYI.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Day, I'm not a learned colleague, but I've been around for quite a while, and I want to just give you something positive here. I know of at least a dozen people who have been cured of cancer and other degenerative diseases by doing exactly what you say.
Well, thank you very much. That's great to hear.
I have twice that many friends who went the traditional route, and they're all dead now.
Right.
What I wanted to ask you about, have you heard of a fellow by the name of Reverend George Malcomus?
Oh, yes. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, is he?
Well, oh, yes, and I'm going to be speaking at his place in April.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you about. He, it's so hard to get greens, to juice.
Right.
And he recommends a product called barley green.
Yes.
And what is your opinion on that?
I think it is very good, and but green leafy, fresh green leafy vegetable juice is better. But but barley green is good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
How about a Dr. Joel Wallach? Have you heard of him?
That's different. Yeah.
That's different.
Right.
Well, he pretty much says what you say, except he leans more towards the minerals, you know.
Yeah.
All
okay.
right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Day. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
This is Patrick from San Diego. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I actually got about four questions, but I can do them quickly. Dr. Day, you mentioned that, you know, chemotherapy is poison, and not that this would be an issue for myself personally, but the same thing is said often about AZT for AIDS, and I was wondering, that's my first question, what your opinion on that would be.
AZT.
Yes. AZT is also poison. In fact, AZT was so poisonous they wouldn't even use it for cancer patients. It was on the shelf, and they decided to give it to AIDS patients.
Second question would be, and I have a couple after, what are your thoughts on, and the only one that springs to mind is Dr. Peter Duesberg out of UC Berkeley, and others who claim that HIV does not cause AIDS or it's not proven.
Yeah, good question. I've interviewed Dr. Duesberg. He presents a compelling case, doctor.
Yes, I know Dr. Duesberg, and I've read his work. I have a document, House Bill 15090, Subcommittee for Defense Appropriations for 1970, where they actually asked for a virus to be made, a microorganism,
mm-hmm.
and this is the exact quote, that does not now exist, for which would destroy human beings' immune system and for which there would be no cure.
Mm-hmm.
We have evidence that that was funded, and that was funded in the early 70s. And I have a friend who is a former British MI6 agent who was in the MI6 in Britain at the time that all of this was going on, who confirms this. And so I do agree with Dr. Duesberg that you can't get any disease until your immune system is suppressed. Dr. Duesberg has said publicly, which I do not agree with, he said that there would be no AIDS in Africa if they just had McDonald's there, I guess as though McDonald's would be nutritious food. But certainly a bad diet does suppress the immune system. But it's not all that simple, as Dr. Duesberg suggests. Certainly when you have a suppressed immune system, you are more prone to getting any kind of disease. But there is a lot of evidence and documentation that indeed this was a man-made virus.
This was not actually one of the questions, but that prompts your response and also the fact that Art says he's had Dr. Duesberg on. Are either of you familiar with the book, and Art, have you had this guest on your show, by Leonard Horowitz,
yes.
Emerging Viruses?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Ebola?
Yes. Yes, I've had him on.
Yeah, okay. I do have a couple after this, but what are your thoughts on his work, or his, you know, his book?
Well, he has not given the facts of the Kimberly Bergalis case correctly, and I'm not quite sure why he didn't do that, because I was an expert witness for Kimberly Bergalis, the woman who got AIDS from her dentist, and he has taken those facts and turned them upside down, and I just don't know what his motivation is for doing that.
In one of the publications put out by the U.S. Army War College on non-lethal weaponry, the revolution in military affairs and conflict short of war, they say, most Americans would not support the use of a weapon designed to target only specific racial or ethnic groups in anything less than a war for the survival of the nation. Next line, this is the last one, could the government and military of this multi-ethnic republic face charges that it was developing or using a weapon targeting Africans, Jews, Koreans, Hispanics, etc.? That was by Stephen Metz and James Kivett.
Do you
why would they even raise that question?
All right. Well, it's obvious because obviously they have considered such a thing, not publicly, I'm sure, but privately you can bet on it. Doctor?
Right. Oh, that's right. Yes, they have. In fact, it's been actually public in the newspaper that certain countries are actually preparing an ethnic bomb, if you will.
Well, it has been a real pleasure, as always. Kind of scary, but a pleasure having you on, and I sense you're absolutely correct, as always. And I would invite people to, if they want to know more, check your website if they have a computer. If not, call 1-800-574-2437. Or, if you wish, write to Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8, the number 8, Thousand Palms, California, zip code 92276. And, Doctor, I'm sure we will do it again.
Well, thank you so much. And tell Richard Hoagland that if I can do anything to help him, please let me know.
You've got it.
Okay.
Doctor, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. There you have it. That's Dr. Lorraine Day. Agree, disagree, I don't know. Deep in your heart, you know she's right, even if you can't make the changes. And I'm probably in that category. You've got to know she's right. We'll be right back.